to the Internet Monthly podcast, a podcast featuring 20 or so short articles of internet-related news and views, tips and tricks, and a regular search engine of the month feature. This podcast is sponsored by Zen Internet. For more information on this month's edition and a list of links for each story, please visit richardfarrer.com. In this month's issue, you can find out how to make sure your name won't be attached to a XXX domain, learn about computerised pot plants and the odd affair of the minister, his Facebook wall and Jacobea vulgaris, ghost town jibes as Google Plus opens to all comers, roadworks and holes you can't fall into by the UK's leading pavement artist, and font art. Space Age Sickbay. Star Trek-style multifunctional medical tricorders may still be in the realm of sci-fi fantasy, but scientists at the University of Leicester and Leicester Royal Infirmary have taken the first steps towards making them a reality. Researchers are developing a holistic, high-tech diagnostic unit designed to detect the sight, smell, and feel of diseases in real time without the need for invasive procedures or multiple time-consuming tests. Some of the technology being used was originally developed for space research, atmospheric chemistry and emergency medicine. For more information, see le.ac.uk. Gamers Advance AIDS Research. A puzzle that medical researchers have been struggling to solve for years has been cracked by a crowdsourced collection of gamers in less than a month. Scientists needed to decipher the structure of retroviral proteases, a class of enzymes that play a key part in the maturation and proliferation of the AIDS virus. The mystery was crowdsourced to the gaming community within an existing online game known as Foldit. Its players were able to generate models that will provide new insights for the design of antiretroviral drugs. Developed by researchers at the University of Washington, Foldit turns scientific problems into competitive games. Players were charged with using spatial and critical thinking skills to build 3D models of protease. Few of the participants had any kind of background in biochemistry. For more details, see nature.com/NSMB. Wireless tech to solve SIDS. University of Utah engineers who built wireless networks that see through walls are now aiming the technology at a batch of sleep-related medical problems by non-invasively measuring the breathing of critical hospital patients, adults with sleep apnea, and babies at risk of sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS. The system is designed to be cheap, using off-the-shelf components to provide the remote monitoring without any tubes or wires connected to the patient. Read more at unews.utah.edu. Minister faced off Facebook. Richard Bennion is the Conservative MP for Newbury. He is also a junior government minister, the Parliamentary Under-Secretary of State, Natural Environment and Fisheries, Environment, Food and Rural Affairs. But Mr. Bennion doesn't let his ministerial position stop him from airing his personal vendettas on the web. "I hate ragwort," he posted on his Facebook wall, describing it as a vile, poisonous weed, and saying, "I am on the warpath for those who let this spread. My chief target at the moment is the Highways Agency." An accompanying photograph of the minister showed him pulling up a specimen of the frequently lambasted Jacobea vulgaris, watched by a bemused cow. It's true that the pretty yellow plant that seems to spring up overnight in fields and hedgerows is classed as one of Britain's most injurious weeds, with a reputation for killing horses and grazing animals who eat it. It has its own Act of Parliament and code and costs local councils and government agencies millions of pounds a year to spray it with herbicides. But the minister with responsibility for biodiversity found himself in a fierce spat with some of Britain's leading ecologists. Within hours of the post about the vile weed, more than 30 people had complained that he was ecologically illiterate, plain wrong, or perpetuating myths put out by herbicide companies. His Facebook wall was showered with objections about his inflammatory language and suggestions that it contradicted his own department's code of practice on how to prevent the spread of ragwort issued following the Ragwort Act of 2003. The Minister for the Natural Environment was forced to delete the aggressive Facebook conversation thread. For more details, see guardian.co.uk/environment. As others see you. Identified.com is a new search engine for professionals that allows them to see how they appear when companies and other professionals look them up online. The startup hopes to compete with LinkedIn by using its own search technology for organising and categorising information found on Facebook. It scores each profile based on the sum of three ratings: an education score, work score, and network score. Individuals can increase their score by adding professional information and expanding their network. Identified.com will also show how relevant you are to particular searches that companies and other professionals make when looking for someone like you. The company said it has already indexed and scored over 40 million professionals, 60,000 companies and 8,000 universities. Check out www.identified.com. Triple X domain opt-out offered. Companies and celebrities are being given the chance to exclude their names from use with the new .XXX web domain before its launch next year. During this month, brand owners and others who think they might be at risk can request to have their name blocked from use with the new suffix, which goes live in 2012. The new domain is intended to make it easier to find or avoid explicit material online. ICM Registry, which is administering the launch, said it hoped to promote a responsible approach to adult content. Companies and individuals not wanting their name associated with explicit content sites will be able to pay a one-off fee of between $150 and $300, £100 to £200, depending on which company they register with. Conflicts over exact matching names will go through an arbitration process. Sites using the new domain will be overseen by the International Foundation for Online Responsibility and will be given an electronic label designed to allow parents to adjust their browser settings to make sure children do not have access to certain sites. For more details, see icmregistry.com/launch. Limiters come off sponsored tweets. Twitter has extended promoted tweets, its own form of advertising, allowing brands to advertise in a person's timeline, whether the user follows that company or not. Since July, Twitter users have been seeing sponsored messages appear in their timelines, but only from the brands and organisations they follow. Before that, promoted tweets had appeared only in search results and on the top of the Twitter trends lists. Now, with a new system, Twitter users can be served adverts in their personal timelines, regardless of whether they follow the brand. The company is opening an advertising sales office in London to get Twitter started in the UK. Read more at battellemedia.com. Tweet trademark battle. Twitter is suing TwitAd, a marketing company focused on promoting through Twitter, over the use of the word tweet in its slogan. Let your ad meet tweets. Twitter claims it is in the best interests of our users and developers for the meaning of tweet to be preserved to prevent any confusion. Twitter has been touchy about the use of tweet in the past. In 2009, the company filed for trademarks of the word in both the US and Europe to prevent third-party developers using the word to describe their products. TwitAd says it trademarked its slogan before any of that happened in 2008. For more details, see blogs.fd.com/fttechhub. Google Plus unlocked. Google has finally opened its Google Plus social network so that anyone can join. The company said its Facebook competitor had been in field trials for the past 3 months and that the invitation-only sign-up restriction had helped with testing and improvements. But now anyone can go to google.com/plus and sign up. As well as opening the doors to all comers, Google has updated the service to include Hangouts group video chat to Android phones and the first of its APIs, which will let developers access publicly available Google Plus data, as well as acclaimed 100 other additions. Read more at googleblog.blogspot.com. Tumbleweed Tales. What has huge name recognition, tons of potential, but in its current state, only the chilly feel of a ghost town? Google Plus, says Dan Reimold, blogger and professor of journalism at the University of Tampa. And he's not the only one. Likening Google Plus to an empty street, newspaper columnist Rainbow Russell said, "It's a not vicious enough to be interesting circle. Nobody posts on Google Plus because nobody posts on Google Plus. My Google Plus homepage is worse than a ghost town. It doesn't even feel haunted." As Reimold sees it, Google Plus offers a few things that are slightly better than Facebook and other social media platforms. But what's really making a huge difference? That's the problem. There's nothing really groundbreaking. Forbes.com contributor Paul Tassi joined the mourners in a column that offered a eulogy for the service. The fact is, very few people have room to manage multiple social networks. There's only so much time in the day to waste on the internet. Adding Google Plus effectively a duplicate of Facebook, and there just isn't space for it. For more details, see pbs.org/mediashift. Managing Google Plus. Some opinionated advice from PC World offers tips on how to cancel an unwanted Google Plus account and how to sign into multiple Google accounts at once. Read more at pcworld.com/article/240281. Google drugs bust. Google has been fined $500 million by the US government for allowing online Canadian pharmacies to place adverts targeting American consumers that led to unlawful prescription drug imports. The $500 million, £305 million, sum represents the gross revenues earned by the Californian-based search engine giant from pay-per-click ads, plus money netted by the Canadian pharmacies from their sales to US customers. Federal investigators said that as early as 2003, the search engine was on notice that online Canadian pharmacies were using its AdWords scheme to advertise prescription drugs to Google users in the US. The fine announced by the US Justice Department, actually a negotiated payment, means the company will not face criminal charges. For more details, see ecommercetimes.com. Computerized pot plants. Perfect for anyone who lacks the time or green thumb needed to grow indoor plants successfully, but who likes to have a touch of Mother Nature around. The Click and Grow is an automated planter pot system designed to make growing plants a set and forget activity. The system consists of a planter pot that is powered by 4 AA batteries and features sensors that monitor the various parameters affecting the plant's growth. There's no need for soil, as the system uses aeroponics, which grows the plants in an air or mist environment. Seeds are planted using special cartridges that contain the seeds, nutrients, and the software that provides the pot with all the information for growing the specific plant. Click and Grow starter packs, which include a cartridge of Busy Lizzie seeds, retail for £49 in the UK. Check out clickandgrow.com. From paper to PC. Released last week, the Inkling Digital Sketch Pen is a new way to get anything that you write or draw on paper onto your PC without having to use a scanner. The Inkling ballpoint is combined with a small receiver that logs the location of the pen on the paper so that when the data is transferred to a computer, a digital image of whatever was written or drawn can be saved as a JPG, BMP, TIFF, PNG, SVG, or PDF. Inkling uses pressure sensing technology so that relative line weights, 1024 different levels of pressure, can be captured. It can also store multiple layers of a single design or sketch. Check out inkling.wacom.eu. For art lovers, Julian Beaver is a pavement artist who creates chalk drawings that create the illusion of three dimensions so well that they appear to defy the laws of perspective. His collection of works includes some amazing pieces, including non-existent water pools and an apparently tangible abandoned laptop. Alternatively, you could view a collection of typographically themed artworks, including a portrait of Morgan Freeman, in which each of the several hundred brushstrokes is a complete phrase or sentence. Check out sun7.hubpages.com/hub/incredible_beaver and designfestival.com/19-unusual-examples-of-typographical-artwork. Sartalics. When was the last time a new font was added to Microsoft Word? Am I being serious or sarcastic? If only there was a font to let you know. Perhaps there will be quite soon if campaigners backing a newly designed typeface called Sartalics have their way. Sartalics is a reverse italics font to be used when tweeting, emailing, or updating your Facebook status with a sarcastic comment. You might appreciate its value if you've ever had to explain a misunderstood sarcastic text message with a follow-up phone call or apology. The designers of Sartalics are looking for 10,000 signatures for a campaigning message to be sent to the personal Twitter accounts of executives at Twitter, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, YouTube, Apple, and Tumblr to get the font adopted for general use. Check out sartalics.com. Hit sounds for EVs. Automotive engineers are perfecting more than in-car entertainment. They are also simulating engine sounds to overcome the dangerous silence of electric engines. Grammy and Brit Award-winning record producer Steve Levine, who worked with Culture Club, The Clash, and The Beach Boys, has been called in to help make dangerously quiet electric vehicles, EVs, noisier and safer. There's been a lot of research into what people want from different types of car, says Levine. Drivers of family cars want a reassuring hum. Sports car drivers enjoy the noise and drama of a conventional engine. I'll be distilling the research, converting it into a soundscape, and then working out how DSP, digital signal processing, can help to reproduce it. The problem of pedestrians being unaware of engine noise from approaching road vehicles first came up when legislation was introduced to ban loud motorcycles, and people who were used to hearing bikes, even when they couldn't see them, were being caught out by the quieter engines, especially in busy town centres. Read more at theengineer.co.uk. A reader writes, I read your Happy Birthday PC newsletter item about the IBM PC last month with great interest. That machine might have been the first of its kind to go on general sale, but it certainly wasn't the first to appear on desktops in this country. In the 1970s, I was employed by British Railways in their Southern Region Headquarters Finance Department, based at Waterloo Station. In 1978, we were told of a new piece of equipment that the railway had been asked to evaluate. Access was initially limited to certain members of staff, of which I was one. The machine was located in a small locked room along the corridor from the main office. The key was held by one of the senior managers and signed out as required. We were encouraged to spend time identifying practical uses for it and to get involved in basic programming. One colleague wrote several programs that revolutionised the way we did certain tasks, and these were taken up by the railway's board and went countrywide. Quite revolutionary stuff. The machine in question was the Intertek Data Systems Superbrain Computer, an early microcomputer with integral keyboard and small black screen that was designed for the commercial market. It had two microprocessors, a Z80A as the main processor and a Z80 to control the dual 5.25-inch floppy disks. It was available with 32 or 64 kilobytes of memory and ran the CPM operating system. Writing at the keyboard of a current model machine today, I can honestly say I have been using standalone PCs for some 33 years now. Best regards, Mike Hansford. Check out obsoletecomputermuseum.org/brain. Search engine of the month. Launched last month, Search Lion introduces several new features to make search faster, easier, and more productive. First is search browsing, which allows users to open and browse search results on the search page. By clicking a button next to any search result, the chosen site opens up in an embedded window and is fully browsable. Searching the web often involves a lot of clicking back and forth and opening several tabs or windows to find what you're looking for, says Lion Web's CEO, Fivi Einstein. Search Lion totally eliminates that. It also allows for a new way to share sites. A user can open multiple search results with search browsing and then simply send someone his Search Lion URL. This will automatically open up the chosen sites within Search Lion. The new engine also introduces other features like multi-view, which allows users to search and view different types of search results simultaneously, and saved searches, which allows users to save their searches and opened sites and reopen them later. Check out searchlion.com. Well, that's all for this month. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll listen again next month.